come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2015 Women's Bible Study in the Book of Mark, titled Servant, Sacrifice, Savior. If you'd like more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
I don't know if any of you heard Greg Laurie teaching this morning. Apparently, he was teaching this lesson. So I did not hear it. So Lord, as we just get into our lesson this morning, Lord, we are so thankful for your presence with us, Lord. We are thankful that you are here amongst us. Father, we pray for our response to your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would be so sensitive to your voice, Lord, that we would hear the things that you have to say to us. And Father, I just pray for a fresh anointing. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that I would speak only your words, Lord. I would speak those things that you've given me that are totally from you, Lord. Anything that's from me, please put it aside and just help us, Lord, to center in on what you're doing and what you want to do today, Lord. Help us to be sensitive to your voice. Lord, we do pray for our nation. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for wisdom. More wisdom than we've ever needed before, Lord. I just pray, Father, for your direction and for mercy, Lord, for grace for this United States, Lord, that you would cover us and that you would minister to us. And Lord, I thank you that you do that and cause Christians everywhere to stand up and move in to prayer and to seek your face, Lord, on behalf of this country. In Jesus' name, amen. So what we're going to do, I know the one, someone brought up this morning in the prayer, the one thing about that the question was asked to Greg of why did it have to be an animal sacrifice? Why did there have to be the lamb that had to be killed? What is the purpose of that? It goes back to, and apparently, yay, Greg didn't answer this question. So I'm going to answer this question as best as I can. But it goes back to the Garden of Eden. Of course, you probably already know this. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. And when Adam and Eve sinned, it was necessary to cover their sin. They needed the skin of animals to cover their skin. To get the skin, you have to kill the animal. There has to be a shedding of blood to be able to do that. So that's how the sacrifices came into being, that there, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So is that clear enough? And we move on from there. Okay, to the point. Yay. Open your Bibles, please, to chapter 14 of the book of Mark. And we are going to do something that we don't usually do. I'm just going to read through it first, and then we will go over it. And so we're going to start with verse 27. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." That's Zechariah 13:7. "But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." I'm going to go before you. Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." And Jesus said to him, "Oh, assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. And then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and he found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words to his father. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." "All of you will be made to stumble," Jesus said. "All of you will be made to stumble." And then he quoted from chapter 13 of the book of Zechariah, verse 7, that "I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." That's exactly what happened. But in verse 28, it says, "You're going to be scattered, but when after I've been raised, I'm going to go before you in Galilee." After I have raised, I'm going to go before you in Galilee. Jesus, God, always goes before us. He always goes before us. He is always there ahead of us. He always knows what's going on ahead of us. And we need to remember that. But these, when he says, "After I have raised," this is not a mere martyr that's talking. This is not just a mere martyr facing death, but one who will conquer death. John 10, 18 and Revelation 1, 18. He will conquer death. He will be raised again. And you remember, or you might not remember, because it is in chapter 16 of the book of Mark, verses 6 and 7. 3 days after his resurrection, they did not remember that they were supposed to go to Galilee. You'll see that the angel had to remind them that Jesus said, "I'm going before you into Galilee, so you need to get going, guys, and get over there." Jesus always goes before us. And then we have Peter making his pronouncement. And he said, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you today, even this night, before it dawns, you are going to deny me 3 times. And that is exactly what happened, and we will see that next week. Even after Jesus told Peter what he would do, Peter insisted that he would not deny Jesus. And all it says, "And they all said likewise." That we've pointed out Peter in this. I'm wondering why. We don't have evidence of what happened immediately after with the other disciples, but we do have evidence of what happened with Peter. And so that's why his name is mentioned here. That's what I believe. Even after Jesus told Peter what he would do, Peter insisted that he would not deny Jesus. Of course, we know that what Jesus said was exactly what happened. But here's the thing. We know that Jesus has prayed for them. Here's what we know. Jesus has prayed for them. Where did he pray for them? In John 17, he always makes intercession for us. So let's just go to John 17. And this is the real Lord's Prayer. You know, we look at the Lord's Prayer as being "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Jesus was asked, "How should we pray?" And that was instruction on how to pray. But chapter 17 of the book of John is what Jesus actually prayed. And he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life. What is eternal life? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so this is it. He verifies that that's the truth. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I've manifested your name to men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And that's all of us. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in this world. I'm about to leave it. But these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with you in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled, and that would be Judas. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray for you that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. This is how he has prayed for you. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And as for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those, verse 20, who will believe in me through their word. That's us that he's praying for. Way back then, he's praying for us, for those who will believe, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they all also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. And so he went through all of that. He manifested the name of God to the men that were there. He's given them his words. In verse 9, it said that I prayed for them. I've given them your word, verse 14 and 15. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. I don't pray that you take them out. I pray that you keep them in the world, that the world can be changed by it. In Luke 22, the disciples are disputing who would be the greatest. Turn to Luke 22. They're disputing on who would be the greatest, and they're also talking about who it is that would deny Jesus. And we're going to go, or betray Jesus, and we're going to go to verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. Jesus tells Peter, indeed, Satan has asked for you specifically that he might sift you as wheat. What? You see, Jesus had to tell him this. Remember, Job was called on in the same way. He was brought before the Father. He picked on him specifically. And Jesus is telling Peter here that Satan has asked for you specifically, that he might sift you as wheat. In verse 32, but I have prayed for you. But I have prayed for you. Jesus is saying this. But I have prayed for you, what? That your faith should not fail. And when you return to me, does that give confidence or what? You're going to go through some tough times. Peter, it is going to be hard. It's probably going to be one of the hardest things you have ever been through in your life. But you are going to get through it. Have you ever been through something you just go, I'm not going to make it. I don't think I can make it through this. I don't think I can live through this. On a very small scale, when I broke my foot, I thought, I am not going to live through this time down. I am not going to be able to live through it. A lot of people have been through a lot more than that. And we've had times where we're just going, I don't think I can make it through this, God. But Jesus says, when you return to me, he reminds us that we belong to him. When you return to me, you have a job to do. I love that. When you come back, I'm putting you to work. When you come back, I want you to strengthen the brethren. How will you strengthen the brethren? They will see how you went through this challenge. They will see you come back. They will see your acceptance back into the body. And they will be strengthened by that. They will be encouraged by that. It's all redeemable. God has a place for you when you return to him, a place at the table. In verse 33 of chapter 22 of Luke, oh, but I'll go to prison and I'll go to death. Oh, yeah, Jesus says. Oh, yeah, really? Let me tell you something, Peter. You are going to deny me three times before the rooster. Before. That's where the rooster might end up, is in the roaster. However, before the rooster is finished crowing, before dawn, you've been out on the farm. Some of you have been out on a farm, or have you been in an area where they have the rooster crowing first thing in the morning? The sun just barely comes up, and the rooster is crowing, waking everybody up. It's dawn. So he's saying before dawn the next morning, you're going to have opportunity to deny me three times, and you're not only going to have opportunity, but you're actually going to do it. You're going to deny me. John 13, 19, Jesus says that he is telling you these things before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe that I am who I say I am. I'm telling you these things beforehand so that when they come to pass, that you may believe I am he. Let's go back to Mark chapter 4. And so, verse 14, you knew. I'll rise, but I refuse to shine this morning, I think. In verse 32, now they came to a place which is named Gethsemane, and you know that Gethsemane means oil press. Oils were pressed, producing the oil for light and for healing. And Jesus was hard pressed at this moment. He was the oil of himself was being pressed out. And there they are at Gethsemane, and he says, "You guys go ahead and sit here," to his disciples. He said, "You guys stay here. I'm going to go pray." And then verse 33, he took Peter, James, and John, remember, first guys that were with him, up a little further. And it says that Jesus was troubled and deeply distressed. I would imagine that he was troubled and deeply distressed. He knew what was about to happen to him. And he said in verse 34 to Peter, James, and John, "You guys stay here. I'm going to go up just a little bit further. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to watch." What? Huh? What? Watch. Watch what? What do you want me to watch? What is going on here? Watch how he prays. Watch what I'm going to do next. Jesus is saying, watch. Be awake. Be aware of what's going on around you. Sometimes I think we're not aware of what's going on around us. We just have our little routine. We have our place that we're doing things, and we just become unaware of everything else that's going around us. One of the things to keep yourself safe when you're out on the street is to look like you're paying attention. Isn't that right? Isn't that what they tell you? Don't look like you're just, okay, yeah, okay. Look like you really know where you're going and you are paying attention to everything around you. That's what Jesus is telling them to do. Pay attention, to watch. Ezekiel 62:6, the watchman on the wall is looking for the enemy. The watchman on the wall is looking for the enemy, and that's what these guys should have been doing. And then in verse 35, Jesus fell to the ground and he prayed and he asked if it were possible to not have to go through all of this. He knew what was about to come. Father, you can do anything, verse 36. You can do anything. Let this cup pass from me, this cup of suffering, this cup of pain, this cup of separation that would take place as the sin of the world is laid on him. He would be made sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He would bear the cause, the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. And he would be raised, Hebrews 5:7-9. And so he asked if this cup could be passed before him. Every ingredient in that cup was known to our Savior and the Lord, but it was his delight to do the Father's will. He knew that God would pour his wrath against sin into the cup, and he consented to drink it and did so on the cross, for it is what he came to earth to do, John 12:27. Was it not the separation when the Father was to turn his face from the Son, thus breaking the perfect communion of the eternal ages for the first time, which was the most bitter of all the dregs that he would go through? Separation from the Father. Do you feel that way when you're separated? When you're separated from the Father, when you just get that idea that I'm not as close as I used to be. Now's the time to get close. Now's the time to do the works. But he was submissive. He was obedient to the Father's will. And now he holds in his pierced hand the chalice of blessing that the poor sinners may drink abundantly. Yes, that's what he came to do. That's what he came to do. That's what this study is all about. In verse 37, he comes and he finds them sleeping. Can't you watch for just 1 hour? Can you hear his voice? Can you hear how he must have felt? Can't you watch for 1 hour? When was the last time that any of us watched for 1 hour? When was the last time I went to prayer and I stayed awake for 1 hour while I was praying? Not a lot of us. But I know that the Lord is speaking to us right now to take prayer time seriously. Because I can't change a lot of stuff. But God can change all things. All things are possible with him. Even Jesus said to the Father, I know that all things are possible for you. Could it have been any other way? If there is any other way, he will say, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. That was his prayer to the Father. Have I prayed that way? Have I thought that way? And they were sleeping. Sleep's a natural thing to do. And this is the definition of it. Although I feel sorry for anybody who's going through insomnia, this is what it really should be like. Sleep is naturally occurring state of mind characterized by altered sensory activity, inhibition of nearly all voluntary muscles, and reduced interactions with surroundings. Decreased ability to react to stimuli. What happened when Samson was sleeping? when he was there laying his head on the enemy's lap. He had a decreased ability to react to stimuli. He had an altered sensory activity because he had not altered, A-L-T-A-R, altered his sensory activity, or he wouldn't have been with Delilah. Couples retreat that we were just at. Bill and I just did a couples retreat this past weekend. And apparently the guys talked about the phones being Delilah. Because none of the guys were using any phones. And when a phone did come out for what any, even if it was like out of the pocket onto the table or what, oh, Delilah, Delilah. The ladies are sitting at the dinner table just, okay, you want to fill us in on that? And yeah, so it was really good. It kept our attention. So when Samson was sleeping, he lost some very valuable things. He lost his witness and he lost his strength. And when we are sleeping, we lose our witness and we lose our strength. When we're not paying attention to what God's speaking, what God's doing, we lose our witness and we lose our strength. And then in verse 38, he said, I love it that in verse 37, he came and he found them sleeping and he said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you watch for an hour? Simon, Peter, come on. You've got some stuff going for you. I know some stuff is coming ahead, but could you just 1 hour, just pay attention? For 1 hour, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Not lest you be tempted, but lest you enter into the temptation. Pay attention that you're not entering into the temptation. When we're physically tired, we give into a lot more stuff, don't we? We're nasty. I'm nasty. I won't speak for you. I'm nasty. I just want to eat everything in sight. But lest you enter into temptation. Because the spirit, everything in your spirit wants to follow Jesus. But the flesh is weak. This old flesh is weak. And it gets tired. I remember when I'm thinking of this particular portion of text, when Corrie Ten Boom had gone to her hotel room, when she was speaking in some places. Her room was bugged. She didn't know it. And she came in, and she was late, and she came in, and she said, God, out loud, she said, God, I am just so tired. I just can't pray. And God said, no, you need to pray out loud now. And her walking in obedience on her knees by the side of her bed, praying out loud, was heard through the bug that was in her room. And the person that was listening to it got saved because of it. See what happens when we fight the sleepiness? See what happens, what God can do when we just walk in obedience. If he says to watch and pray, then watch and pray. And we don't know when he's coming back. I don't know if that they knew in an hour's time he was going to come back. But they needed to be ready for whenever he did, right? Right, okay. And so, again, he went away. And so we watch and we pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Be alert so that you don't willfully enter into temptation. Everything in me wants to stay awake and alert, but this whole body doesn't work so well. So prayer, what is prayer? Prayer is taking all that you see to the Lord. Simple definition of prayer, taking all that you see to the Lord. Pray about everything, it says in Philippians 4, 6. In Psalm 55, 17, evening, morning, and noon I will pray. So throughout the whole day. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. That's a whole study all on its own. Pray without ceasing. And then we go on. Again, he went away and he prayed and he spoke the same words to the Father. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And when he returned, he found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy and they didn't know what to answer him. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Jesus, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. I repent. I will stay awake. I will stay awake. And what happens? Then he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Are you just sleeping and resting? It's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. The third time, it's time. This is what you were to watch for. This is what you were to be watching for. Here it is. Can you see it in the distance? The men carrying their torches or whatever kind of lights that they were carrying, walking towards them into the garden. Jesus sees it. The disciples haven't seen it because they've been asleep. We could say, well, what if they were awake? Well, what if they were? We don't know because they weren't. But here they come. Here they come. Their betrayer leading them. Jesus' betrayer leading them. Not knowing what they were going to do, I believe. Next week, we'll talk about what happened next. Okay? And so, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. So please be praying for the Breaking Through Conference. Please pray for Shannon. And next week we're going to be looking into the denial of Peter, just like Jesus said that he would. Please be sure to pick up your tickets today. And you know that we sell out of them pretty quick, so we don't want anybody to miss out. And you guys, I am so excited about going through all of this after Easter because we've heard so much about it and it's like, the season is over. But no, let's not look at it that way because the season is never over for his resurrection. The very fact that we have life is because of his resurrection, his death and his resurrection. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, your hand that's on us, Lord, your love for us. I thank you, Father, that you have spoken something of yourself in this time, Lord. I pray, Father, for just an awareness of you at every moment. And Father, that we would recognize what it was that you came to do, what you did, what you fulfilled, how painful it was physically. But it was even more painful in your separation from the Father because of my sin. You did that because of my sin. And all I have to do is accept you as my Savior. Accept that sacrifice. Repent of my sin and go on and live my life for you. I thank you, Lord, for your love for me, for us. I thank you, Lord, for these precious ladies who come every Tuesday. Lord, they seek after you. Lord, they seek for something more, a closer walk with you, fellowship with others, Lord, being able to encourage one another. Thank you for giving us purpose, Lord. Thank you for your healings. Thank you, Lord, for those things that need to be healed right now that we are praying about and we are asking for healing, Lord. We thank you in advance for your healing hand on them. Help us to walk in a way, Lord, that we are watchful and prayerful at all times, Lord. We know that the devil is roaming around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour, and we want to be awake and alert and aware of our surroundings, Lord. We pray for the Breaking Through Conference, Lord, that lives would be touched. Lord, that you would prepare us here at the church, Lord, that there wouldn't be anything overlooked that you haven't taken care of, Lord, that we have not responded to what you wanted to do. Lord, help us to be prepared for these ladies. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to them. And help us to remember to pray for them, Lord. Lives to be changed and to be set free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.